Hallo Josh.
Hallo Christian.
Wie ist es?
Ganz schön laut im Hintergrund.
War es ein bisschen laut? Wir sind hier auswärts zu Gast. Ja. Wir sitzen hier im Clayton, aber nicht alleine. Uns gegenüber sitzen zwei prominente Herren. Der eine etwas mehr, der andere etwas weniger. Ich sage aber nicht, wer ist. Also, ihr habt ihn lachen gehört. Hallo, Eiko.
Ja, Mahlzeit, Männer.
Ja. Und jetzt müssen wir auf Englisch switchen.
Beziehungsweise, Eiko spielt gerade Babysitter.
Ja,
He's doing the babysitting job in the moment.
Ja.
For the El Presidente.
Ja. Hello, Mr. President. Is that the way to talk to you, Jim?
Hey, please. That's not. I don't get called that. It's Jim, or there's a lot of bad things I get called.
So we stay with Jim. Okay. Yeah. So we have Jim Tomsula, guest in the Clayton Hotel, and he's on his tour all over Europe the last few months, weeks, whatever. And you saw a lot, and that's what we are going to talk about today. We talk about the AFLE. We talk about the past, the future, the near future, and the far future, and what the plans are. And I think we got a lot of stuff to talk about, Jim, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we do. I'm excited to hear. Hey, one thing I do want to shoot out to you guys, and obviously in my business I don't do a lot of listening to talk shows and internet stuff and things like that, but I got a lot of respect for you guys. In the way you do your show. And it's not just to feel good. You ask the tough questions. You ask the honest questions. And you're looking for the truth. And I respect it. And the other thing is, you don't get personal. And that's the other thing that you stay in that mode of, here's the facts, let's talk about them. And I really appreciate that. And I got a lot of respect for it.
Well, we appreciate to get a lot of facts from you today. Eiko will join us. And Eiko, if you have any questions, just go ahead. We have a little script. You don't.
So you're not prepared.
It's your podcast. You're up first.
Okay. So let's start off, Jim. We have the first regular season behind us from the AFLE. And we are just about to start into playoffs and the Gold Bowl. From your perspective, what is the AFLE's past progression? So did it make a progress? It's the first season. And what was good, in your opinion, and what was bad?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we can have a lot of dialogue on both sides of that question. You know, obviously, I wasn't here at the beginning. And to be quite frank with you, in my first conversations, I wasn't looking for a job. Anyway, I was visiting my parents, and there was a guy there, Joel. He said, hey, would you come over and let's just talk a little bit about this thing? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, I'll come over and tell you some of the things I've done wrong, screwed up, or, you know, whatever. If I can prevent you from making a mistake, you know, let me help out. And then he said, you know, we'll talk for a couple of hours and go to lunch. I said, that's great. Well, we talked for a couple of hours, went to lunch, and then we talked for about 10 more hours. And it turned into a long day. And just finding out about things. Now, this is about halfway through the season. I guess week 4 or 5 anyway. One of the first questions I asked him was, why did you start this? I mean, with everything that happened over the last 2 years, particularly the last year, and the timing of everything, I mean, you were really, in my opinion, I mean, you were really out of time to be starting a season and doing it. I mean, you know, being able to plan all that and go through the stuff. I said, oh, that was really tough to do. I mean, why'd you guys do that? I mean, they're smart people. And quite frankly, he looked right at me and said, well, we discussed it. We felt like we had, you know, you got two options. Okay, number one, you shut everything down, you plan it, you get a good plan together and get everything lined up, and then you restart it. He said, you know, we saw a lot of negatives with that. People that are in football now, the players, the coaches, all those kind of people, the fan base, you know, nothing to watch, people that, you know, in journalism and all talk shows and podcasts and all that stuff. I mean, that's already there. It's already going. And to pause it like that, we just thought, oof, that's kind of tough for the whole football community. Then you want to restart it. You know, that has its own trials and tribulations. And he said, and the other option was obviously, hey, let's go play. And we know we're going to have some bumps, and we know we're going to have some struggles, and let's fight through them. But let's keep the game going and do it. And he said, you know, I had one promise to everybody. We were going to play every game. We would make sure we would support all the teams and make sure every regular season game got played. And by God, he did it, you know. So, but I still was skeptical. And then once I got over here and started getting around to the teams, I will tell you, I think he made the right decision. I think they made the right decision in keeping football going, as ugly as it may have looked at times. Okay, it was worth it to get to. It was worth it to keep it going, and keep fighting those battles and keep this thing rolling. And where we are right now, you know, when I came in and got around, saw everything, you know, my thing was the first thing we need to do is stabilize, and end the season on the upswing. Okay, and then launched ourselves into the next year and get rolling. Now things that I found here. When you go all over the place, the passion of this game for people is there. It's there, okay? Half of the complaints you hear, okay, half of the things people are upset about, it's because they love it so much. you know what I mean? They're yelling about it, but it's because they love it so much.
Would be worse if they stopped complaining.
Right. I mean, it's not like they just went away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know, you've got that. You've got a lot of good people here. And that front office is doing things. I mean, throughout the league is good people, the players, the fans. So, you know, we're here, and I think we are. Some of the things you're seeing going on right now, and as we finish up through the playoffs here and the Gold Bowl, I think you're gonna really feel good about, all right, we're through that first year. We've gotten over those bumps and lumps. And we are. We're there's a little bit of a deep breath. I think people are going to be able to take, like, hey, I can see where this is going, you know. So that's my answer.
So the time was the biggest problem in the season, or we fans should wait for the next season to be more positive, because there are many rumors that they know there will be that they don't be a franchise anymore in next year, the next 2 years, because there's problems with money. And you say, yeah, just wait, we will come, the AFL will come and it will be bigger than now.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, just to give you some facts, okay, the AFLE does not own or did not own the Berlin Thunder. Okay, all the problems with the Berlin Thunder, the Swiss team, okay, all those problems were inherited. They that was all happening before this league, okay? And they were brought in and they were supported financially. The investments were made to make sure that they could finish the season, make sure that the bills could get paid. And it, you know, it was a tough deal, and that was done. So the investment that I see happening, and the investment I know is happening and going to continue to happen and ramp up is really exciting to me. Really, really exciting to me. There is a strong commitment. And again, guys, I'm just going to say this to you. All right, anybody that knows me, I'm not getting on a train that's headed off a cliff. Okay? All right? Well, I'm not doing that. And there's standards and integrity and things that I really believe in. And it's not always what you do, it's how you do it. And I am really excited about where this is and where it's going.
So let's pick up the person, Joe Nagel. You talked to him, you said you met with him for lunch, and then you ended up sitting on a table for 13 hours.
I'm saying 13, maybe it was 10, I don't know. It was a long day.
So longer
felt 13 hours.
Longer than a regular lunch. So what kind of a person is Joel? Because I think for many of the fans here in Europe, he's still a mysterium, and so-called, put it in emphasis, he's the guy with the money. That's all
people know. He can be the new Zetka, the old owner of the ELF. It's short for the Zlatko Krajicek. Oh, yeah. Because many things, Joe Nagel is the bad guy behind the AFLE, and he just have money and want money back.
Okay. Well, Let me phrase it this way. If this looked anything like the ELF, I wouldn't be here. Okay, that's number one. All right, I don't want any parts of that. Okay,
and that's already a statement.
Yeah. Okay, but the way that went and did and stuff, and I don't know all the details, and I don't. Okay, and I don't want anything to do with that. Nothing. Okay, and this doesn't look anything like that. Okay, and again, what were the complaints there? All that was happening was the teams were putting in money, or the teams were doing a thing, and the money was going up and out. Okay, all right. Well, all I've seen here is the money's coming in from the top and being invested. Now, to say this isn't a business would be incorrect. It's professional sports. Okay, so there is a business element. Are there business plans? You're damn right. There's business plans. And you're damn right that things are put together to build this, invest in this, make it sustainable, and get to a point where as it sustains, money is generated. There's absolutely it's pro sports, like any pro sports. I mean, if it's not that, then it's a club. Okay,
yeah,
I mean,
is.
So it's professional sports. So I don't think anybody. Would apologize for that or think anything negative of that.
Yeah, it's like Joe Nagel is the guy with the money, and we need guys with money. That's what we talk about, because otherwise this wouldn't happen, and it doesn't work in Germany or in Europe. That won't work, because there's a progression we have to make. But now that's Joe is the guy with the money. But you're the president. So where does his influence end, and where's your influence beginning?
Well, again, I would not define Joel Nagel as the guy with the money. That's not the way. I would define him as a businessman with a vision. Okay, that's the way I would define him. And a businessman with a vision is a person that is going to make sure that the teams are successful. Okay, and that's what he's doing right now. All right, putting the teams in a position to succeed. Okay, so in my mind, all right, everybody can win. Everybody can do well. Okay, the business elements of this can do well. Why were there problems in the ELF? Okay, why are there problems around? It's financial problems.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you need a business model that'll make it.
Yes.
So to me, it's not necessarily the guy with the money, it's the guy with the vision, and he's investing. Now, where does that stop? Or does it start with me? Obviously, I know sports business, okay? I've been in it all my life, so I understand sports business. And that's different. It's a different element than you know, normal business. You know, there's a different element to it. But the game and also just being involved with American football in Europe since, 1997 or 98 is when I started here. And seeing everything and being around it. And quite frankly, guys, it's been rinse and repeat.
Yes.
Okay? We get somebody, they get an idea, boom, they do it. 10 guys get together, they eat dinner, they drink beer, they take a picture, they say, here we go. And 6 weeks later, they're already fighting each other. And then 12 weeks later, that's all out trying to bite each other and eat each other. And then in 3 years, it goes belly up and people lost money and all the fans don't have a team. And okay, and then we cool off for 2 years and we do it again. Okay? This is not that. This is not that. All right, so where I come in is I'm going to make sure it doesn't look like that. That's my job to do that. If you have a problem, again, I've gotten through this year. Now we move forward. We're going to be putting things in place that are my responsibility. So if you don't like it and there's a problem, you've got one guy to call. All right, and that's me. And so that's where things are.
That was when we look at European football the last years. It's like there were ambitious projects, ELF and now EFA and now the AFLE. They wanted to grow and they grew, and until that certain point where the financial stuff didn't work anymore. What's the biggest problem there, and what does the AFLE do to prevent or avoid these things like we have now in Berlin or we have in other teams?
Okay, well, quite frankly, and I don't want to get into a lot of the business models, okay, but what I will say is this. When people go into a, usually they have to buy into a league.
Yes.
Okay, well, you don't, that's not happening here. Okay, so people go raise money, take that money, and pay the league, and yeah. then they got to go figure out their finances to run the team.
Right. Well,
that's not the way this league works.
So how does it work?
Well, this league, you're getting your they call it revenue share. Mm-hmm. There is no revenue right now.
Yeah.
So basically, they're getting money up front to help with the sustainability of their team. So everything that's happening right now is all about the success of each individual franchise. So the investment and the backing and the support, not only money. Okay, but the league office and the way the league office will support the teams, okay? Helping with travel, helping with those things, okay? Simple things like equipment purchases. Okay, let's come together as one group and buy for a league. Now, you still keep your colors and your stuff, but now the purchasing power from a league, okay? Yeah. And using those things together in a proper business model. You know, hotels, travel, things like that. So it's the support structure around, okay? The league office, there's only, well, I shouldn't say there's only one, but the most important and the focus of the league office in this league is to make sure the franchises are successful, okay? So it's not come in a hole and then start trying to dig yourself out of a hole as you're playing football. That's not what this is. The approach is come in and invest.
Right.
Invest in it, okay? Very much like soccer did in America. If you watch the MLS, they came in, everything was kind of, the structure was set to make sure the teams were successful. Standards were set by the league office, right? That everybody was at a certain standard. That also helps your competitive balance, which I'm sure we'll talk about, okay?
Yes,
we are attacking, okay? But all those things are in place to support the teams to be successful, okay? And now once you've got that going on and we're moving forward, now you have something that other people want to invest in.
Right.
That now you start working into the home community, you start working into the... Yeah. So that's the difference in this model.
Yeah.
It's not everybody come in and pay the guy at the top $1 million, okay, and he puts that in the bank, and now go figure out how you're going to get the rest of your money. That's not what's happening here, okay? It's the opposite. The money's being invested now so that we can have the success and build this together.
So talking about standards, how does a financially healthy AFLE franchise look to you? Is it the standard like the top three would define, or how would you define it?
Well, no, I think a standard from the league perspective, okay, is you have to have your, let's start with the team, okay? From the team, being vital members of your community. I think that's, you have to be a positive to your city or your community. It has to be, they have to like that you're there and want you there and be excited about the things you do as a neighbor, as a person, and that's where the homegrown thing comes in, okay? Because we need to have, this is American football in Europe. Let's not forget that, okay? So people talk to me about let's expand the American base and have more American players. Well, absolutely not. That's not anything I want to do. I just tell you right now, the perfect world for me is, and I'm telling guys this now when they're asking about coming over here, all right, my job is to work like crazy and teach somebody to take my job, but somebody from here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We need the American touch right now, all right, to do things, but we need to be educating and mentoring and helping and growing so that at the end of the day, all right, there's somebody from, all right, I'm in North Rhine-Westphalia. Somebody from North Rhine-Westphalia needs to have my job at the Rhine Fire. They need to be running that. They need to be the head coach. That's where we ultimately need to go. So that means growing the game, being, when I say everybody in football going in one direction, Okay, that's what I mean. That's just not two pro teams, and that's all the way down to the grassroots. That's flag. That's, and all our teams are being set up that way.
So that means it's more important that in a certain market, like let's talk about Rhein Fire, we need players from Düsseldorf, from Duisburg, and not from Hamburg, Munich, or Berlin, who would move away, obviously, after the season out of our market, right, and are not available.
Well, to me, the pure focus is being people that are in your market, you know, in your community where you play. So you want them. All right, yeah. That's number one. In some markets, they're basically not as rich with talent as this market. Okay, I keep saying market, but this area. Okay, yeah. North Rhine-Westphalia is loaded with football. It's a big area. Okay, yeah. So but you may be in another area where it's not. So they may have to go with a European or a German from another place, and they come play with. But they're still European or German, okay? So you start off with your homegrown in your area. Then you may have to expand that, okay? Because we've got competitive balance, okay? So you may have to expand that, all right? And that's fine, all right? Now we do have the E players. All right, they're European players. This is European football, yeah. Okay? Or American football in Europe. So that's what we want there. And then lastly, okay, we've got the I, okay, that I position, which I fought for in the old NFL or the old
UF.
Yeah, the old league. And the reason I fought for that is, do you guys know where I was? The Rhein Fire head coach. Okay, the number one place outside of Japan, the largest Japanese community outside of Japan, you know where it is?
Yeah, right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Okay, well, there's some football there. I was doing the Hula Bowl. And in the Hula Bowl, they bring over some players from the Japanese players. So year after year, I'm doing this All-Star game, and I'm seeing these Japanese players that are good players. And I'm thinking, man, that would help us. We have a huge Japanese population. And if we could have a player come in from Japan, so let's go with the I, all right, international player. So I could have one player from Japan. We did it before. He always wears the headgear.
You know Aiko, yeah.
So that was the point for that. So we have that, and then the four Americans, okay? And right now we need that. But we're also, again, I don't want to get ahead of you with your questions, but we also have a group coming over that's going to be doing quarterback clinics throughout Europe and developing quarterbacks, okay? Because we need to do that.
Yeah. That's the main question that really is around fans and spectators around the league. Is the balanced teams? We had so many blowouts this season. It wasn't balanced. We have now the four teams in the playoffs. They were very, very well competing. I mean, Wroclaw beat Vienna. That's a good thing. So we got 3.5 teams which are really competitive, but the rest is not. How will you go on this topic? Because you can't have a league which is a two-class league.
No.
What is it you have to do, or what is it the league can provide to the teams that this is not going to happen and not being this extreme as it was last season?
Okay, and again, that falls under my role.
Right.
Okay, so
that's why
just
I'm asking.
No, but I want everybody to know that when there is a complaint, okay, moving forward, this falls under my realm of a responsibility. So what we're doing, and again, I want you to know that I do a lot of this, and a lot of the football stuff does come through to Commissioner Nomi, Andreas Nomason,
yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Who's I really have a lot of respect for, okay? So what's going on there is this. The first thing I want to talk about is the London team, mm-hmm. Okay, the Warriors. The Warriors, I believe, okay, you have to correct my facts, I think they have one American on their team.
Yes.
Okay, zero E's.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah,
okay.
I heard that the problem is that like the visas for all the Alpine Rams, that the British government is not allowed to have British or American players are playing in Britain, in Great Britain, because of the visa.
All right, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I remember in the NFL Europe, I was with the London Monarchs, and then I was in Scotland for 5 years.
Yeah.
So I dealt with those rules. It's not that they don't permit it. It's the process, okay, the bureaucratic process that you have to go through for work permits in Great Britain. you can't do in a month or 6 weeks. So you have to start early. Well, the London team was the last team to join, and they actually 3 weeks before the season started practicing. Okay? Yeah. All right? So when we're talking about... So now, those things are already earmarked. Those people are already being identified. We're doing that now. All right? So that those visa process and work permit processes can start in December. All right? And then we will have plenty of time to get them. That's all that is. All right? We're not going to Downing Street and saying, "Hey, change your rules because we want to play football." they're not going to do it. Okay, so we have to do it within their process. So there wasn't any time for that this year. So that's what London did. Okay, and started off 0-3 or 0-4. Okay,
yeah.
All right, I mean, what a story that is now.
Yeah, they had a real nice process now being in the playoffs, and he's my witness. Josh is my witness. I said before the season, that's the team which will be most compatible or competitive within all the teams that started, like the Rams or France or whatever. And they did. Yeah, they had a learning streak, but they learned and they play now very well, and they deserve to be in the playoffs. And who knows what happens on Saturday?
Yeah, and they scored
on us on every drive in the first half.
So. Yeah.
And remember now, Tony Allen is there with Jerome and Marvin Allen. Those guys all started. Tony started the NFL Academy. Yeah. Tony was in charge of the IPP program. He started the IPP program. Okay, I worked for Tony in that program. Okay, so the coaching and the things there are very professional. And they've worked that through. Now, let's look now next year with all that talent, homegrown.
Yeah.
And now we have our E's and we have our A's to supplement, mm-hmm. which is what that's supposed to do. It's supposed to supplement, not overtake.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've got the homegrown base. They've got that rolling. Everybody's going and they're getting it. Now you supplement with the four Americans and you supplement with the E's and an I. We got something going on there now. Okay, now that's that's not one I'm worried about for competitive balance next year. Okay,
yeah, so all you say is what is needed is actually time.
Time, right? In that situation, that's where the time thing comes in.
Time and money, because have time without money. So
right. So that's what's happening. But you know, you look at the other teams that you're talking about with the competitive balance. Okay. The next thing, I think you guys are aware, but we hired Mark Gorsuch, okay?
Yes.
And Mark, I've known for probably, 20-some years. And I've always been telling everybody in the NFL the greatest job I ever had was in Europe. And I'm always talking about it. And, you know, it was awesome, right? And so when he retired, he gave me a call and said, "Look, I want to help. I want to give back, dude. You know, I made a good life in the NFL, and I'm retired." And now, we didn't blow the announcement out, quite frankly, because he still has some things he's doing, finishing up in his career there, more with the draft or the combine and things. So we didn't want to get all crazy about that. But right now, what he's done is he's already evaluated every one of our teams. So every team has been evaluated. I have write-ups on all the teams. I'm watching film, but Mark's done. I mean, he's got a couple Super Bowl rings. He's been an NFL personnel executive for 20 years or something like that, you know. Yeah. So, so we've got evaluations on all the teams on what their needs are. All right. One of the things, like when we go back to the Rhine Fire when I was here, okay. Well, being in pro football in the United States, one of the big things you learn about, and even the colleges, is building a roster. It's something that kind of gets forgotten or kind of left in the back. Where really, that's really your most important thing you're doing, okay? And when you build a roster, you're thinking about the depth, you're thinking about a long season, because sometimes football's a game of attrition.
Yeah.
Okay, and there are games where guys are going to miss or things are going to happen. Now, we try to prevent as much of that as we can, but those things are going to happen. So when you're building your roster, okay, you're always looking at that. How many O-linemen do I need? Okay, so I need the five starters. I got that, right? But who's the two key backups? And when I go for a backup, can the guy play center and guard? Or is he just a guard? Okay, can a guy play tackle and guard? can a guy play center guard and tackle? Okay, that becomes a really valuable piece. Now, he might not be as good as your five starters, okay, or he might not even be as good as your top seven, but he can do all three.
He can do,
okay, yeah. So you're thinking about that ahead of time. Wide receivers, how many do you need? How for a long season, where are we going? How many people in each position, and how do you layer that? And so building a roster is an art in itself. So with Mark here, okay, and what he's doing and the way he's evaluated, and incidentally, he's evaluated every football player in pro football in Europe, not just our teams. Okay, he's evaluated everyone. Okay, so we have those lists, and now it starts getting down into individual players. And okay, so that we're going through that process right now, and then we're not going to tell a coach how to build his roster. That's still the coach's job. Okay, it is, but we can give him those notes. We can give them those ideas. When we do combines, and Mark will be over here as we do combines, and you know, our teams will have the regular combines and do all that, but then we will have some specific invite combines, and Mark will be here for those and run those and do all those things, and we video them and pass that film around to everybody. So whenever he does a combine, then the next day he will do a full day of clinics with the coaches that are out scouting, to kind of tell them what to look for and how your eyes go when you're looking at a player, an O lineman or a D lineman, and the qualities, the traits, the measurables that you're looking for. So he'll teach that. Then he'll also teach how to build a roster, okay, for the sustainability of getting through a season, you know, and looking at that kind of stuff. Now, my part in that is talking about how you practice throughout the year, okay? Sometimes if you practice 3 days in a row every week, well, that's a lot on the body, 3 days straight. Yeah. Okay, then we have a game. All right, but we're going, you know. So at Ryan Fire, we practice Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday morning. Full gear practice, but we practice Saturday, a little lighter, but we practice Saturday morning, day before the game. Then we played the game. So it was kind of spread out. So you had a rest on the body. You practice hard, rest on the body. Practice hard, rest on the body. So those kind of things to keep the guys fresher, making sure they're and to stop soft tissue injuries, you know, pulling a hamstring or doing things like that. So, you know, even all the way down to the structure of your practice. You don't just go out and start sprinting. You need to warm the body up. Okay, we need to. So just things like that, and that's where we can help prevent some of the injuries and stuff. Yeah. Now the paperwork issues, okay, which were there, okay, they were a problem, and that was rectified maybe in the first week, okay. So we got that rectified a while ago. I see no reason for that. That should not happen. I've expressed that to all the coaches, GMs, and everybody in this league. I don't see that. That should have never been an issue, okay? And I'm not going to back off that statement, okay? And it won't be an issue anymore because you won't be licensed to play, all right? We will not license a player to play in this league unless the paperwork is done.
Mm-hmm. So okay. You talked about time. You talked about all the things that are necessary from an administrative standpoint. My experience or my view is, like, at some teams, they're like, some people, like the head coach, who's taking care of everything. He's like the GM, the director of player personnel, and everything. So do the franchises have enough personal resources to get that all done, or has the league to step in and help the franchises along the way until they find another GM or another director of player personnel or whatever?
Okay, well, right. So very good question. And you know, that was something that I was stuck on at the Ryan Fire.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have a sporting director. Okay. That's a club has a sporting director. We don't have a sports manager. Okay. That as a club, you have that. You don't have that in professional football. Okay. So you have a head coach. Okay. And he oversees the entire football operation and what goes on. Then I have a personnel director. Okay, player personnel director, and he handles that. Now, I'm still watching the film. All right, but he's doing a lot of legwork. He's in Europe. Okay, he knows the language. He knows the teams. He has the relationships. Okay, until I can build them, so he's bringing those that tape to me. All right, he's bringing those things. Everybody's gathering information, gathering players. We bring it all in, and now we evaluate everybody by position, and then we stack them. Okay, so when I say stack them, we rank them. Okay, so we rank by position. Then we go and we take it one more further and we rank by team need. Okay, so now it's all ranked. All right, so everything is sitting on the board and you're organized and you have a methodical approach and you're looking at the whole picture while you're building this team on that day. All right, if you have 12 phenomenal receivers and an incredible quarterback and no O-linemen, it doesn't matter. You can tell me how great they are in practice, yeah. But it's not working. So what'll happen in the team structures is what you'll see, and that's part of what I'm talking about, a little bit of reorganizing. All right. The teams will be organized with a certain structure, okay, front office structure, football structure, okay, so the business structure and then the team structure. Okay? So that will be a standard throughout the league. Okay, we will set that standard. Okay, now that structure will be mirrored by the league office. Mm-hmm. So now they all have somebody in the league office or a department. Okay, most of the time it'll be one or two people. Okay, if it needs to be more, it will be. But now that will be mirrored in that league office. So now that communication is constant. Okay, and now we've got the support for the teams. All right, when they need this or they need help on that or they need, okay, and that will all work through, because the number one job of the league office is to make sure the teams are successful. Mm-hmm. It's the number one job. So that's the way that'll work when you're talking about how it goes. You got one team, the general manager is doing all the personnel. On another team, he doesn't do anything with personnel. On another team, you know, it's all over the place. Well, we can't have that, okay? There has to be a structure to that. And now, also, the word that a lot of people don't like to hear, but it also puts accountability where it needs to be. Because we're in a performance-based business. This is a performance-based business. If you don't perform,
you're out.
You're not in it. That's just the world of pro football.
But would you say, especially on an administrative level, do we have enough knowledge in Europe to fill all the positions?
Well, maybe the knowledge isn't... Maybe the knowledge isn't all the way defined through each individual team. But, you know, if you have somebody, I'm going to use operations and logistics, okay? And you have a guy here, Mario Schultz, with the Rhine Fire.
Yeah. Hell yes.
He's in charge of operations.
Yes.
I asked him to be in charge of operations and logistics. And he looked at me and said, I'm the wide receivers coach, and I'm the special teams coordinator. I said, but in the off season, okay, and now you're the operations and logistics guy.
Yeah, you grow with your task.
But what he did was, he's ex-military, he's an ex-fireman and medical, okay? So he understands, he has the concept of that, moving this from here to there, okay? Now, I work with him very closely the first year, to teach them what I know about football, because I've worked in all these spots, okay, throughout my career. So I'm able to guide him, all right, that first year on things, and then boom, he's got it. So your operations and logistics that happened at the Rhine Fire are point on. They're fantastic, okay? He does a great job, right? So but what I'm saying is, the league office, they're going to have somebody to make the phone call to. Mm-hmm. Every week, they're going to be having the meetings with the league office. All the operations people will have a meeting with the operations person in the league office that now they can share ideas. Hey, this happened to me here. Hey guys, how'd you do that? And they can ask and bounce off each other. All right? So now we can, it's collaborative. Okay? Because we got to remember, on the weekend, okay, you've got your team, and they've got their team, and we're fighting like crazy, okay? No question. Gloves are off. We're fighting for a win, okay? But during the week, the league has to be a team, and we all have to work together for all the stuff that happens around the field, okay, which is important. It's huge, okay? So we have to work. So we're building a team. So there's the league team, okay, and then there's your individual teams. So that's how we have to approach this, which I don't think has been approached that way in Europe.
Not yet.
It's kind of like these, not yet. You know, it's kind of like, okay, this is mine. I just keep it here, and it's like this little silo.
Yeah.
Okay, and oh, we don't want to tell anybody how we do that because they'll get an advantage. Okay, well, no. We're not. We're going to work together through the league and the league office.
And
we're
going to one league and not as one franchise.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not going. Our league is not going to be 10 franchises, 20 franchises. Okay, it's going to be a league that now on game day is a franchise, is their own entity. But we have to work together collaboratively. And that's what that's the structure that I'm talking about that we're putting together.
Right. So you build the structure, and what happens on the field is up to the coaches and everybody else. So,
and again, we'll still have the commissioner still has his meetings every week with the head coaches. Okay, but we're not going to get into Jim and Nomi are not going to sit in the league office and build the team in Rhine Fire or build the team in London. I mean, we're not going to do that. That's for the people that are there. Okay, that's what they do. Okay?
Okay. So, talking about the near future before we go a bit further, now we have the playoff and we have the Gold Bowl approaching. It's right around the corner. What has have to happen for you to say after the game, yeah, that was a successful game?
Well, I mean, again, those are loaded questions to me. You know, and when I mean loaded, there's so many answers to that. There's so many ways we can define this success. And obviously, let's go, all right, it's a tight game, goes into overtime, and somebody wins on the last second overtime. All right, well, okay, there we go. Everybody's happy, right?
Well, not everybody, not the losing team.
Not the losing team. But you know what I mean? There's the, all right, that's the ultimate competitive balance, right? And if you talk to the NFL, they want every game to be like 48-49. Because then there was a lot of scoring, and it's good. And I'm a defensive guy. I like a good old 3-0 win. You know what I mean? So,
game we never forget.
Right. Okay. So the success. Right, the team's getting there and showing what they have. Okay. Obviously on the field. Okay. And the quality of our product. All right. Because let's face it, we're saying pro football. We're saying business aspects. What do we sell? Okay, our product is our performance. That's our product.
Right.
So we have to address our product. We've got to protect our product. We've got to grow our product. In the normal world, we call it quality control. Okay? All right, that we have to protect that. We have to keep our focus on that. And I remember going to meetings with Paul Tagliabue, the old NFL commissioner, and he always said every meeting we had needed to start within the white lines, leave the white lines, work around it, but then end in the white lines, okay? And I always thought there was such a wise way of looking at it. So that's what we have to do, okay? So we want to see that. And the players and the coaches, and a professionalism to the way they approach. It's not what you do, it's how you do it, okay? So let's look at the professionalism and the way things are being done on the field and around the game. All right, we have to continually work on that. And then the experience for the fans, which if the game is good, all right, that's number one. But also the things going on around the game, all right, whether it be the power party or the events or the things that are happening. Because in Europe, to me, the special thing here with American football in Europe, the fans are like no other group, even including American football fans, okay? These fans are different. This is truly a family experience, a family atmosphere. When they say, and I'm not saying this, these people, fans are friends. Football is family, okay? That comes from the fans. I'm not making that up. I'm hearing it from them, all right? So that makes us way different. We don't have to worry about who's in. I go to stadiums. I don't want to say the stadium, but I might have been in England, all right? And we're talking about the fans and they're like, well, you don't need a different entrance. You don't need a different train. No, we don't need any of that. We need none of that. Right? We don't have any of that. that foolishness, and we're not gonna. We're gonna protect that like at all costs. All right, we want the old people, the young people, we want everybody to come and experience it. So making sure that experience around the game is quality and good and safe and fun. So those are the things to me that get wrapped up around, you tell me about a game, that's what makes it successful.
Are you allowed to say what is around the Gold Bowl? There was announced a paddle tournament on, I think it's Saturday.
Yeah.
Will be there some other special events around the Gold Bowl? Are you allowed to tell us?
I'm trying to figure out, honestly, I've seen the sheet, but now I'm trying to figure out in my brain what part of that was public yet, and what part of it wasn't.
Okay. We want everything.
Well, just give it a try.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. You get me in trouble. Yeah, so you're going to do it.
We can talk about the flag football tournament, which is public.
Yes.
And the cheerleading.
I'm really excited about that.
And the cheerleading record in the halftime.
Okay. Now, I thought that was way cool. I really thought that was cool. That's coming from a different angle, you know? But to get the cheerleaders like that and do that, you know, I thought that was, and you know, and then, you know, I think Nini's involved. Our great coach at the Rhine Fire. She's a fantastic coach.
Yes,
you know
she
what I
mean? Is.
And so, in our cheerleader, well, ours. I got to watch what I'm saying here. The Rhine Fire cheerleaders are just spectacular. They are. Those people are just, they work so hard at it. And, you know, so them being involved in this and getting this going, I thought that was, I really did. I thought that was a really cool idea, and I'm really fired. And we're going to have a Guinness Book of World Records is going to be in an AFLE championship game. Like that's super cool. Yeah. I'm really pumped up about that.
So.
I might drop a number because I already did my research as a professional journalist. 900 cheerleaders are already involved in that halftime show. 900.
No, that's a halftime show, though. Right?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is going to be so cool, man.
Yeah.
Maybe the NFL have a look at this and say, we need it for the Super Bowl. Or next Super Bowl, we also need...
Hey, if they'd like to copy the things we're doing, we'll accept that.
Of course. You know. We say the copyright is at the AFLE, so...
Yeah, so I guess we're all already thrilled about the it's a home game. I don't know if Rhine Fire will be attending, but still, it's a home game for us fans in Duisburg.
It is.
I think we'll come anyway. I don't care who's going to be in that final, but we will take the atmosphere and we will see some good football. And if it's Wroclaw against Vienna, I don't care. Maybe
or even London.
I don't care. of course, we hope for Rhine Fire. Maybe. You have to be a bit neutral, I know. But I see in your eyes, you hope for Rhine Fire as well.
He's always going to try to get me in trouble.
Of course. Okay.
The other thing that I do want to add to that I'm trying to, that I really want our fans to do here, our fans, the Rhine Fire fans to do, you know, they're phenomenal. But I want to get all football fans. All right, here's a big deal for me. All right, for particularly pregame, I want to get all fans. Let's make it like the old days. Let's bring all the fans together. Okay, from that town down the road. Okay, from that town that starts with an F. Okay, that we don't say a lot here. Okay, but all fans. I want to get all the fans together, all right, and get it going. And I've said we'll have a fan forum, okay? And if they want to come shoot, hey, you want a mic, take a mic and fire the questions at me, whatever. But let's get that energy back for football, okay? All right, no matter what teams are playing, all right? The championship game is a celebration of football. That's what it is. It celebrates the whole season. It celebrates, you know, it's the ending of a year, and it's just a celebration. So I want my dream here for this game is to get all the fans, everybody that likes football or loves football, come to this game. Okay, it's affordable. All right, it's been made affordable. You can bring families, but get everybody here to this game. Have one of those wild nights, guys. You remember that thing that same stadium packed out.
Yes.
There was nothing like it ever in Europe. It was off the charts, man. Yeah,
that was incredible.
It was. So maybe, that's what I hope they do.
Maybe we see some purple guys. I'm not sure, but they're welcome because their season is over.
That's right.
They can go and come and see some good football. That's what we say.
And what I think is important, people are fed up of politics, closed door talks, and all that.
Yes.
They want the game. They want football. They want a good time. And I think that is our USP, our unique selling point. We are here for a good time, and this is what it's all about. And we have to remind ourselves every day that football is about a good time. We can complain, bitch, whatever, during the week. But on game day, put a smile on our face and have fun.
Well, we have a smile on our face, so you can be sure of that. But now, what we have to talk about is, now we don't have only the AFLE, we have another league in Europe. So what do you think about the EFA? Is it a competitor? Is it a partner or something in between? Or where do you see the EFA, and do you see two leagues in Europe building up like that? Because many people don't see two leagues, and you see what happened last year. Fans were not coming to the stadium. We saw that at Rheinfire. We still had around 5,000 people in the stadium, but we had 2 years ago, we had almost 10,000 every game. So, and all the politics that happened, and all the S word, I don't say the S word, but all that shit what happened, right, in the ELF, both leagues suffered from that. But what do you think? Where does it end? Is it only one league? Will there be two leagues? What do you wish?
Well, the first thing to that is I, part of my comments, I want to make sure everybody understands, I wasn't part of it when things broke up, okay? I wasn't part of it when the other league went defunct, and I wasn't part of all that stuff that went on, okay? So I really...
That's why we look in the future now.
That's where I'm at. That okay. I will tell you that when I started off here and got off the plane, I did ask the CEO and the ownership groups, if they mind if I reached out to everybody in football, and just had a conversation. And I said I won't wear my AFLE hat. It's just my own time. And let me, can I just do that? And the answer was a resounding yes, of course. Of course, it's not a problem at all. And then my next question was, and if people are willing to sit down, will you sit down? And the answer was an absolute yes. Absolutely, we'll sit down and talk to anybody if it's gonna make football better. If it makes things better, we'll talk to anybody, okay? And we'd love anybody to join us. I mean, we really would. Okay, that's the truth. That's the honest to God's truth. And for me, everybody in football, no matter what it looks like, we all need to be rowing in the same direction. And we all need to be singing out of the same songbook. And we need to be promoting the game. It's already a newer game in Europe. It's already there. So if we're all going in the same, and I'm including clubs, I'm including everybody going in the same direction, promoting our game that we love, promoting the kids. Let's face it, it starts and ends with kids, okay? And our fans, who are already, in my opinion, connected, and they already have that, and I think that's what you're seeing is some disgust, going against the way the fan base wants it to be. That's right. Why I want everybody to come to that game. Let's get that feeling back. Because I want to catapult, all right? I want to be just taken off after that game into the future. That's my little goal and vision in life. How that looks, so I've reached out, and some of those people have we've had conversations, really good conversations. Really, I mean, nice people and good. There's a couple that didn't return a phone call. Okay, didn't return a text. Okay, that don't want to for whatever reason. Okay, and I think that's kind of sad. Personally, I do. Okay, I mean, there's nothing I mean, sit down at a table and argue, talk, and let's get our way through it. Let's get to the other side, okay? But to not even want to return a phone call, I couldn't understand. Now, again, that's not everybody. It was actually only two that did that, but it was you know, that was the, and I shouldn't have said that either. I don't want to get anybody in any trouble. I'm not trying to cause any ill will here, okay? Because I want it to be calm and collective and talking and going through. You know, at some point, I do believe, I don't know what exactly it'll look like. I will tell you from the AFLE perspective, we have a strong vision, a strong business model, a strong passion, and we're going in that direction, okay? I don't see failure here, okay, with what we're doing and the way it's happening. I'm as excited as I've ever been, more excited than I've ever been about saying, okay, this will work. There is the support. There is the backing. This is going to work. Okay, so we're on that path, and it's a good path. I'm excited. That doesn't mean there's not going to be bumps in the road. That means that you're not going to be on this show one week saying, "What the hell is Jim doing?" Right? You know what I mean? He told us to blame him, so we're blaming him. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, we're gonna this thing is going in the right direction.
Okay, so you say you have the talks or not, whether they want to talk to you or not, but your doors are open. That's what I take with
that's
it.
Always, yeah.
Is there a deadline? Where you see, we talked about the time you need to build the structure for every team. So will there be a deadline where you say, okay, this is now, I don't know, end of the year, now we make a cut, and this will be the AFLE next year. And if you want to join the AFLE, our league, you can try next year, but for this season, it's over.
Well, you know, I hate putting a timeline on anything. I do. But for planning purposes, we're gonna there'll be some announcements here at the Gold Bowl, okay? I will tell you all that that my goal, all right, I'm going to say it publicly, it may not happen right then, but the goal that I've set is the beginning of December being able to announce a schedule.
Yeah.
Okay?
That would be great, because this was one problem in last season. Everyone was looking for a schedule and no one could get one. I think it was in March. When the schedule came out, it was too late. It was way too late.
That's what you said. You wanted to have it a family thing, and families are planning vacation and holidays and everything, and then you book flights, and then you can't attend at the game you want to.
And the flights to Mallorca are even affordable in December.
Right. The Mallorca game, that was we were talking about it, and that was a great idea, but it was too late. It was really too late to get any flights. Maybe you're one lucky guy and you're on vacation at that time and buy a ticket at the Playa and go to the stadium. But for other people, like, they had already booked a flight to London or whatever, and that was really... unlucky, to put it that way.
Well, in the comments I'm going to make about that is I agree. Okay, it was about 6 weeks, you know, and that was, there's some plan. And then there were some people that already had flights to London. Now, I am going to say, very proud of the league. Okay, they put out their they realized it. They corrected it. They put the statement out. All you do is let us know. They did reimburse 100% of the people, 100%. They took care of it, gave them the free tickets to go to Mallorca, okay? The game tickets, not the airline tickets, but they reimbursed them for any monies. So I was real proud about that, because that's identifying, okay, we didn't mean that to happen. We were trying to do something cool. That part didn't work, and then they fixed it.
The thing was cool, but it was a bad timing. That's what I'm telling. So if you have any plans going to Mallorca next year again, please do announce it till December. I will be there.
Okay, yeah. and that's why that's the goal, okay? Because not only is it early enough for everybody, so when you think about that, so it's early enough for our fans, okay, which have to be number one. They're the people that come to the games, okay? So then our fans have it. Then it's also, you have Christmas gifts,
Right.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So you can promote those things and people can use their Christmas money, and that's a nice gift.
Okay? Season tickets. Listen up, Josh.
Yeah. So you have that part of it, but then you also just talk about the logistics, moving teams, and you talk about airlines and buses, and you can do that earlier out. Now it can reduce costs. Okay, right. So it works for everybody. The problem, quite frankly, I used to get on them at the ELF. I thought that was too late. I really did. I thought it was too late. I mean, you're trying to move 75, 80 people. And you need a hotel, you need a plane, you need a bus, you need a... I mean, and it's holiday season.
Right.
You know, I mean, so if we can do... That's why I have it set there. You can't hold me to that because I that's what I want. Okay, we're not going to just do it and do it wrong either. All right, so we've got to, but we're trying to be way early on things like that. So that does fall into some of the answer of what you're getting. But we'll talk to anybody and work things and figure things. But I mean, once that schedule's out, obviously, schedule's that's a schedule. We don't want to go around changing schedules when people. And then we got another problem. Now we did this. Oh, but now in January somebody wants to play. Well, now we're gonna. Nah, that doesn't work either. Okay, yeah. So once that's set, it's set.
So last question before Eiko is coming in again to that specific topic. So you said you had some good talks to the ownership of in the EFA. Isn't there a chance? We will see a team of the EFA next year in the AFLE.
Well, I
don't. We're not talking about names or teams, yeah. But
and I'm not saying yes or no to that. I'm really not going to answer that question because I don't. Again, I'm not trying to throw darts at the EFA. I'm not trying to shoot bullets at them or cause problems. Okay, if that happens, great. If it doesn't happen, fine. Okay, great. Okay, we're moving in one direction, and we are going full blast, and that's the way we're doing it. We're taking care of our business, okay? And we think we have something pretty... Well, we don't think... We know we have something pretty special here, and especially where it's headed. So we'll see how that works, okay? I don't want to... I don't want to get into those things. You know, and again, when I say good talks, I mean good people. People that maybe they... Maybe they just think differently about it, okay? But you know, any conversations I've had with people have been very civil and very, very, very nice. You know what I mean? Now, you can disagree with me, and we can still shake hands and walk away. Okay, that's what I'm talking about when I say good talks. Not like, ooh, good talks business-wise. That's not what I mean at all. I just mean healthy conversations about football, the future of football. I mean, those are the conversations that I've been having. You know, the future, what's it look like, all right? What's your vision? And everybody just kind of, us all just getting together talking about, you know, what's the vision here? I mean, what are we looking at? You know, how do we maximize this thing? You know, those are the questions and the conversations we were having. It wasn't necessarily, hey, come join us, okay? I'm not out soliciting, okay? I'll tell you that right now. I'm not out soliciting. Hey, come. That's not my. No. We're doing just fine, and we're rolling in a real good direction.
So you see the league in a good direction, and generally, when you talk about business is a long-term project. So, is it important for everybody to keep in mind that it means we need sustainability and we need patience till we have success? Or economical success?
Oh yeah, I mean the when you say the patience on economic success, that's already been proven to me. All right, that's already been shown to me with the business plans and the way things are structured and talking about investment and talking about the 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plans. And okay, so that's been laid out very clear to me. Okay, and something that I don't even think about right now, okay? Because I know that's there, and I've seen that plan and model and the way things are moving. In terms of patience with fans and things like that, you know, I go a couple different directions with that. You know, I think fans have every right not to be patient. You know, I mean, you ask them for patience, okay, and we'll ask them for it, but they're fans. okay, I mean, if they're getting a little ornery because we're not playing up the snuff, or we're not doing, okay, well, I mean, they have every right to do that. I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't say that from where I'm sitting, but, I kind of understand that stuff. I would hope, and when those questions arise, I will answer them, and I will, I think I've proven to people that I'm honest and transparent, and, I screwed up. I did. Okay. And this is the way I'm thinking about fixing it. You got a better idea. Okay, how can I fix that? When it comes to fan issues, that's why I'm with the fans. I'm constantly asking, all right, what makes this experience better for you? I mean, what, I'm going to go say, guys, up until this year, I never went to a football stadium and watched a game. I was always working. So I don't know what a power party is. I don't know all that stuff. I'm not going to pretend like I do. So who's going to know that? The fans. So I need to ask, okay, what's that look like? And it's going to look different in different communities. The Ryan Fire community is going to have, this is what it looks like. This is what works, okay? Now, we can try that somewhere else because it's a great idea, and we've obviously seen it be really good and cool and wonderful. So we can go try it, but it might not work somewhere else. Maybe there's a twist that they use that the people in their community like. We want to have like a model and look at it, and we do want to emulate things that are working, but we can't be rigid. We have to be able to adjust it too and say, okay, well, that works there. It doesn't work here. This is what works here, So that's the point I make with fans, and we got to hear from them. We need their point of view, their perspective, and we need their ideas. We really do, and. Because it bringing people together, let's face it, at the end of the day, it's people, people, people. People, people, people. This is a people business.
That's it. To open the door a bit, I don't know if you let take us a look. We will see.
Here he comes. No, he gives me the soft one. He's opening me up, and then boom, he's going to grow.
No, a sneak peek. will we see any new teams next year?
Yes.
All right. That's the question. I don't ask how many, and I don't ask where, but there will be.
Yes.
Stell die Frage.
Will there be a stadium which is better than the stadiums in Berlin? Because we don't have a stadium in Berlin.
Okay. Well,
so if we get a new franchise in the next year, will they have a stadium which have a standard, an AFL standard? Because we have problems in Berlin with the stadium. Also in Firenze with the stadium. London moved, I think, every game in a different stadium. Will the new franchise be in a stadium?
I'm really excited about the London announcement for the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. I think everybody will be really excited about that one. Okay. Again,
I'm not sure if you have enough fans for Wembley. I'm not sure.
Okay. I didn't say Wembley. But I think that'll be exciting, and again, the piece of paper is not signed yet, okay, but there's handshakes and agreements and things like that, so I can't ever count on it, and I'm never going to announce something until that's done.
Until the paperwork is done,
okay, but I'm extremely excited about where that's going. I do want to address the Berlin thing, and we've been with actually this past weekend, we had people down there meeting with the sports minister and people in Berlin, okay. You know that they tore down the stadium.
Yes.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's to open in 2028. Okay. And
so what about next
that's
year? Right?
Next year is okay. So we are looking at other places. Okay. And just to be transparent with you, we're also looking at putting up stands there. Yeah. Okay. The surface is great. Okay. The location and everything there is fine. All right, it's just a problem of stands for the fans, okay? So we are looking at that as a possible deal because we want to stay there and keep that cooperation going, knowing what's coming in the future, and we want to make sure we're in a very good place with that right now, and we want to stay there. So So there's a little bit of a work in progress right there in what we're doing, but those conversations are happening, and you understand exactly. I'm telling you right now, we've looked at putting the stands up and having a thing there for next year, which is not... It's not the end goal. It's obviously we don't want to have teams doing that all the time, okay? But if that were to happen, I mean, who was it? The Chicago Bears had to go play Minnesota Vikings had to go play at the other stadium while they were getting their stadium built. All right, they didn't want to do that, but in order to gain the big advantage, they had to do it. Okay, so you know we may have to do that. All right, and then work through that and make that as professional as we can and get it as good as we can. So that may be an option. As we look at other teams, stadiums are a big part of that to look at. We do have a little bit of trouble sometimes, particularly in the bigger cities, actually.
Yes.
With finding a stadium that will, I mean, we're going through it right now with Oberhausen. We're going to Oberhausen this weekend, yeah. You know, because of the grass. And okay, I mean, we have to understand that's going to be a part of it forever here till we have our own stadiums.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there's always going to be some work around, I believe, in that area. But that is part of when we're looking at expansion and we're looking at teams and cities about finding that stadium. And in some cases, it may be a stadium that leads to another stadium, but we want to make sure it's at least a decent stadium, okay? Yeah. Some things we can't put up with, yeah. Okay?
It's part of the fan experience, you mm-hmm. know? We had it last year, the Berlin Dixies called, right? Where they had these mobile
bathrooms
yeah. And that was really not the standard a fan is expecting, you know?
Right.
And
it's
part of the whole experience, and it's one thing on the field, and the other thing is, well, I have to know where to get my beer, where to get my bratwurst, yeah? And
where
I think
to go to the
that's
toilet.
Really, that, okay. That's yeah. it. That's
it's
it.
Part
that's
of it.
Part of it. Yeah. Because if I have beer, I need a toilet. So.
Exactly.
And not share the waiting line with the quarterback and the running back
that's
at halftime.
That's it. Exactly. So nobody will ask a question. Okay. When we sit together after Gold Bowl 2027. So next year, I suppose, so there will be a Gold Bowl. What has to happen until then that you say, yeah, we're heading the right direction and it's everything okay we do? We make mistakes, yes, but what is it that the minimum standard you want to have in this league or from the fans, from the organizations that you say, yes, we can go on for this for the 5 years that were promised?
Well, first of all, when we talk about moving forward, we already are. Okay, there's a lot of really good things happening right now that you're not going to see right now. Okay, but they're in place, that part is already really exciting. It is, all right, from the structural standpoint to the financial standpoint to partners. Sponsors, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of good things, and that's going to start coming out to you. Okay, so that's one. Two, the other thing that we have to make sure that everybody understands, and I want to make sure the fans through your podcast here understand. There is no off season in professional football. There's no off season, okay? And a lot of the things that upset people around the game have to be done, prepared. You know, what's the old 6 P's of success? Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. Okay? All right? Plan your work your plan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we got all these cliches, okay, but they're real. So the work that we're doing now, the work that we're doing, I mean, in the right world, guys, week two of this season, okay, or week two of, I go into next year, all right? When we're in training camp next year, there will be a certain amount of people in our league office working on stadiums for the following year, working on projects for the following year, okay? It's not, okay, what I've seen in Europe, okay, the normal progression, and it kind of does come from the club way of things, because that's what you have to. Most people with experience in football, that's where the experience comes from. So you're always drawing off your experience, all right? So you go through the season, and then when the season ends, everybody goes on vacation for a month. First time I saw that 3 or 4 years ago, I was like, well, where the hell is everybody? Well, they're on vacation. It was a rough season. Yeah, it was a long season. I got you, but. The week
still
right
work
after,
to be done,
the right? Week, after the season, before the season.
Yeah, the week after the season is a huge week. That's when we're putting things to rest. That's when we're having meetings, evaluating the past season. That's where we're saying, okay, this is where we got to get better. That's we're going through. Everybody's checking their notes. I have a little notebook. Okay, and literally on the front it says the things I screwed up. Okay, and I write in. Okay, and everybody gets a laugh, and they go right next to my bed, and I lay down at night, and boom, I'm writing the stuff down that I screwed up. Okay, so it's in there. So the week right after the season, okay, that's well, we're already in it a little bit now, but that's when you put those things to rest, and you understand these critical areas that we've got to get better at. What's short term? What's long term? How we need to look at things? All right, where our vision needs to go. And then from there, we go to executing that plan and moving forward. And then maybe you take a little break at Christmas holidays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got to get a lot of work done by then. And now you take your break at the Christmas holidays and you get a couple weeks there. And then we're back in January and we're going like hell. You know. So. That's the way that looks. That's how we do that.
I get a little sign. Yes, we are already out of time. No, we're not out of time, but I have it here. Okay, I have it here. So we brought a little special from our for our podcast. That's a tradition we have. We're not sponsored. We don't have any sponsors.
But yet. Not yet.
Not yet, yeah.
We tried.
Well, we try really hard. And you told us before, off when the mic was off, that you're going without sugar and everything. Now we have something sugary with us, and it's a Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Just take it. You don't have to drink it, but take it with you. Because we have a Dr. Pepper every episode. So
you guys love the Dr. Pepper.
Yes, we do.
Hey,
I sure do.
One quick thing I'll tell you about Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
When I was working at Dallas, the international headquarters for Dr. Pepper, or if you walk out of the locker room onto the practice fields, to the left is the Dallas Cowboys, huge building, mm-hmm. 10 stories high, glass. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen pictures of it. The building on the other side is the Dr. Pepper International Headquarters. Is right there. Okay,
That's a place to work for us.
Yeah,
I know you won't drink it now because it's really sugar. We don't have a zero. If we knew that, we would bring a zero. But take it with you. Just put it in your mini bar. But we can do.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
And just a little short note on Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
The wife of Kaylin Geiger. I met her last night at practice. Mm-hmm. And guess where she's working? She works with Pepsi.
Oh.
So she's in the Dr. Pepper deal.
Well, that's the way to get
a
sponsor.
You have our number, so.
That's a good drink.
Yeah.
It is a good drink.
It is.
Next
it
time
is,
we bring a sugar-free.
Yeah. I like a Dr. Pepper.
Now what we saw is they have energy as well. So we hadn't had that once before. So now we went off topic. Jim, you're up to leave from here, and you have a huddle up with Jim at Knoten.
Yes, sir.
In the Altstadt. Back to the roots once in a while. What is it for you to be in the Knoten every time?
It's like you said. It's home. That's a great experience. The people there. You know that's. That takes you all the way back, you know, to the beginning. And the Knoten, when I was a visiting, when we would come as the visiting team, mm-hmm. we always, after the game, still ended up at the Canote with all the Fire fans. You know, but really, it'd be our fans would be there. I remember Scotland, all our Scottish fans were there, and half our team and coaching staff was there. So we've been going to the Canote for a long time, and it's the vibe, the people, the whole energy is just, it's spectacular, man. It really is. That's a one in a million type of place and environment. It really is great.
And the family factor. I mean, you've seen kids grown up, we've seen good news, bad news. It's family.
It really is. I mean, we've been there with you go to this thing tonight, okay, and it's like all these fans, but particularly there, you get there, you got people that met at a Rhine Fire game, and now they're married.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. they've got kids, and I'm holding their kids now, and I'm like, holy cow, I knew you when you were
old, right?
Now I'm way old, you know? And even some of the older people that met there a little later in life, and you see them together, and these little love stories yep. and stuff is really cool. And friends, yep. you know, the people that have made friendships, and even when football was away, kept these friendships. And it all came from football, you know? And so that's really cool. And then to the same token, we've all gone down there and had a toast to a friend that passed, and you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
two of them.
Yeah,
we've Harry Nopsey.
Yep, we've had two recently.
Cheers.
You know? Cheers.
It's so it really is that gathering place where people that care. You know, it's a special thing. It really is.
What do you expect from tonight? Will there be hard questions like we had?
Well, I don't know. You guys are known to be pretty hard and thorough.
Oh, yeah, that's okay? what we're known for.
You're known for being very thorough, okay?
Oh,
you do your research and you dig, okay? So,
no, we just try to open a door and get a sneak peek. No more.
But no, I mean, the fans there are educated, too. You know, I mean, they are. So there's questions. I really, one thing I do want to, it's why I appreciate your show. It's why I appreciate what you do, okay? It's not just the fluff piece. It's not just the make everybody feel good piece. It's real journalism. I mean, it's real stuff. I mean, you look into it and you check it out and you're asking those tough questions. And look, man, I mean, they need to be answered. They need to be addressed, and it's a place to address them, and it's a place to share it with the fans. And you know, I want to make sure we do that. When we say the fans, see the fans, the media, I see all of us working together. We can do all we do on the football side, and we can do it in behind the curtains, right? But if we don't have people like you putting it out there, the good, the bad, the ugly, okay? But if you're not putting it out there, then nobody knows. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's we need you. We have to work together, okay? And our fan base, right? We need you, all right? So we want you to be educated. We want to talk. I want to answer the questions. I want to tell you what's going on, and I want you to have an understanding of what we're thinking about. You know, I want you to stay involved and love it. And you know, I mean, I don't want to talk about other professional sports, but I think you guys will understand what I mean. You get into some professional sports and they just figure you don't need to know. All right. You just come to the game, spend your money, watch us play. Okay. And then don't bother us. Okay. And I just think that's wrong. I don't think that's what this is about. I don't. Quite honestly, I just don't believe that. I believe that we all are on the same team, all right? And we're all allowed to disagree, too. We're allowed to have our point of view. We're allowed to do that, you know? And I say that to fans all the time. Throw me the ideas. Give them to me. But maybe something that's great for you sucks for 14,000 people. Well, I'm going to tell you, hey, dude, I got it. I kind of like it, too, but we're not doing it because there's 14,000 people. That doesn't work for. All right, so we're not going to do that one. So I can't say that everything's going to be put in, but you need to be able to have a place to put it, and let's give you an answer. All right? I mean, true. You deserve that. You know, so That's my point with everybody in football working together and going in the same direction. If we're all doing, that doesn't mean we got to sing kumbaya and agree to everything. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't. That's not what I mean. What I mean is we just need to be going in the same direction. And let's face it, too. If you're not disagreeing once in a while, you're not getting better. We need to be able to disagree and debate and come to a conclusion. We need to be able to do that. We need to be able to do that as grown-ups,
right?
You know,
right.
At home and also on the football field.
Yeah,
that's it. Well, Jim, thank you for your time today, for having you on our show. We appreciate, and we hope this won't be the last one. Maybe we'll have some talks in the off season, although there is no off season. I noticed that.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll have some other talks in the future where you can share some of the visions and some of the ongoings around the league, and we will keep you in our hearts at Rheinfire. That's what I can tell you.
Thank you.
And one tradition we have beside Dr. Pepper is that our guest has the last word of the show. It's your turn.
It's going to be more than one word, but I want to say this. If you can figure out how to have me do this while I'm at home or in Hamburg, I would do this at any time, okay? I'd be honored just because of the way you guys do it, okay? Honestly. And people know when they come on your channel that it's an honest deal, that you're coming from the facts. So that's that. Thank you for having me. And let's get everybody going in the same direction. Let's have a big fan blowout at this championship game, this Gold Bowl. Let's have a big fan blowout. Now, we got to get people to Oberhausen, and I know it's a little ways out there, but it's a playoff game. Let's go. All right, and the one thing I'm going to bring up about Oberhausen, all right, because I was the guy that did it, we lost the game in Oberhausen, the only game we lost in a couple of years, okay? Mm-hmm. So the Rheinfire got to get in there and, you know, right, I'm not pulling for any team, but let's get out there and cheer like hell for both teams. All right, I got to say that. Both teams, let's cheer like crazy for both teams, all right? Let's get it going. But let's get everybody there, but this Gold Bowl, I mean, let's have a big fan forum, man. I mean, how do we get it out to everybody? All right, and let's all pound it and just get everybody to the daggum game, and let's have one of those days where you just reinvigorated, and it gets all this, what do you guys say, political crap and all this stuff. Get it the hell out of here, okay? And let's just have a good old traditional pure football day, you know? And let's go.
The fire's back.